Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, rolling in hour number two. Shane Dennis along with yours truly here on Sports Daily. Good to have you along on the sports station KFH. We've already talked college hoops, the state's big three. We've gone through the four games that made up the wild card weekend. What's on tap for the rest of the show, courtesy of our friends at Side Pockets, Kellogg and Tyler.
Tyler, correct. Monday lunch special. Yeah. BLT sandwich, quarter pound cheeseburger, either one. Both served with fries for just $5.95. Later on, college football playoff national championship. On air at 6, kick at 7, right here on KFH. Of course, we'll tell you everything you need to know about that coming up in 25 minutes or so. Over on KNSS, 1330 and 98.7. The Wichita State basketball coaches show start at 6, first with Greg Marshall, then with Keitha Adams. Wichita State's women lost at Tulsa over the weekend as well. So both coaches licking their wounds, so to speak. Greg Marshall and Keitha Adams over in KNSS starting tonight at 6 o'clock. Coming up on this show, this segment, a little bit of a College Football Hall of Fame talk. Class of 2019 is out, headlined by former Texas quarterback Vince Young. We'll talk about that here in a second. And then again, everything you need to know about the 2019 College Football Playoff National Championship game between Alabama and Clemson. They meet again. These two teams obviously have dominated the CFP since its incarnation. And a little later on this day in sports history, which will include a handful of the now defunct BCS National Championship games. That's brought to you by Superior Rent. So all that on tap here on the show the rest of the way. We talked about the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think that was Friday, and how many just no-brainers there seem to be on the ballot all the time. Interesting list on the College Football Hall of Fame class of 2019. It's a pretty big list.
Yeah.
But it's headlined by some obvious and indisputable no-brainer guys. Rocket Ishmael from Notre Dame, their returner receiver, Texas quarterback Vince Young, Patrick Willis, who was a linebacker at Ole Miss. Let's see. It's going to be Patrick Willis and Rocket Ishmael, I think, are the two that are going to participate in the coin toss in the College Football Playoff National Title game between Alabama and Clemson tonight. Other members include, but not limited to, Terrell Buckley from Florida State, Ricky Dixon from OU, Jacob Green, a defensive lineman from A&M, Torrey Holt, former NC State wide receiver, and Arkansas running back Darren McFadden. Jake the Snake made it, Troy Polamalu, and Wisconsin offensive lineman Joe Thomas. Coaches include Dennis Erickson. He had a lot of stops, by the way, Dennis Erickson.
Yeah, he sure did.
More than you think.
Sure did.
And Joe Taylor were also named to the list. They will be inducted into the hall December 10th in New York. Anything from that group stick out to you, or do you have any lasting memories from any or all of those?
Well, just that they're all seemingly deserving, and how do you start splitting those hairs?
Mm-hmm.
There's just such an incredibly deep pool of talent and experience that makes up college football. You know, Dennis Erickson was, when you start figuring out where Dennis Erickson all was, he was in the college game. I mean, he was at Wyoming, Washington State,
Idaho.
Idaho.
Oregon State.
Guy's been all over God's green earth, not to mention Miami, coached the Seahawks for a while. Other than the fact that where do you start eliminating and how do you start eliminating guys? How do you even compare and contrast careers when you get guys that are this accomplished? Mm. How do you start doing it?
And my question would be, or maybe not a question, but an observation. If you have one or more real wow moments in addition to a solid body of work, I think that really tips the scales in your favor, and you need to look mm-hmm. no further than Rocket Ismail and Vince Young. Those guys that in one or more games, and in Vince Young's case, more than one game, put the team on their back, and they won because of that one guy, you know? And it was just a couple of days ago on OTD that Vince Young's Rose Bowl, the anniversary was celebrated when he 30 for 40 for 267 yeah. and ran for another 200 to win a national championship.
Including the game-winning score.
The game-winning touchdown, yeah. And that was the final game in his college career. And that was on fourth down, too, by the way. So yeah. It comes down to more than just one game, but when you have a great career and then a game like that, and Rocket Ismail had games like that, too, if you remember. I mean, as a returner mm-hmm. most of the time, it's like
yeah. –
all right, the last thing we can afford to do is have Rocket Ismail return this kick right here. And it seems like all he did was run back kicks for touchdowns. Just a game changer from the special team standpoint. A guy like Rocket Ismail gets into the College Football Hall of Fame. 47th Notre Dame player to enter the College Football Hall of Fame, most from any program.
Wow.
It will also
impressive.
It will also induct the Goodyear blimp as an honorary member. And then, frankly, I think that's long overdue.
Well, I guess that's blimp worthy, right?
Totally so blimp worthy. Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. But
it is funny.
Big list. Congratulations to all those who made it. Let's see if I left anybody out. Oh, Lorenzo White from Michigan State. He's also in there, the running back in the mid-80s. But London Fletcher also in, didn't mention him. But Vince Young basically highlights and headlines this particular College Football Hall of Fame class.
Well, when you stop to think about it, Shane, he has probably the defining image and the most lingering image in the game that is generally considered to be, if not the best, one of the best college football games ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you break down, and people forget just how well he played in that game. And even though he won a bunch of games in the NFL, that was really the high point of his career.
And he burned out pretty quick in the NFL,
yeah,
I'm afraid.
In a relative sense, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Relatively. And you hate to use these comps because they're both the same skin color, and we fall into that trap, by the way, when we're comparing players. But if you're a Ravens fan, you don't want Lamar Jackson to be the next Vince Young.
No.
You know, you want a little – and, all right, who was more polished at the time coming out, do you think, Lamar Jackson or Vince Young?
Vince Young.
I think Vince Young, too.
I think Vince Young was a better thrower, bigger, stronger.
Not as fast.
Was damaging. And very and could really run. I mean, he was very good with his feet. He wasn't the same kind of escapable player as mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, but was pretty adept and could throw the ball better. But I don't think that. He didn't have any physical issues. Lamar Jackson has physical questions right now about throwing the football the way that he throws the football, and can he develop into a a more consistent pro without falling back on a desire to run the football and to be a moving target? Because he's not going to last long. He continues to take hits, even if they're more glancing because he's so quick.
Hits are hits. They pile up.
Hits are hits, and especially at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes its toll on you. It just does. I mean, he's already received a phone call from Michael Vick, kind of warning him on the dangers of putting your body out there. Mm-hmm. And how, as when you're young, it doesn't seem like any big deal. But man, those hits are cumulative in the NFL. And it doesn't take long for you to feel old.
Yep.
Just doesn't.
Well, now, so, you know, and getting back to the last hour, now what does John Harbaugh do with his offense now that he's handed the keys over to Lamar Jackson? Because you got to tailor an offense to your quarterback. Plain and simple. There's no more of this, for a guy like him, there's no more of this quote-unquote system stuff. You run the plays that benefits a guy with his skill set. And obviously you work on him, work with him in the offseason to try to shore up what he doesn't do well, that every NFL quarterback needs to do well, and that's be accurate because, you know, he can't, like you said, he can't just run around all the time. And the Chargers dropped a bunch of people into coverage and made him throw the ball, made him be accurate. And they didn't blitz him either, and made him stay in the pocket. And that was the game plan. That's everybody's game plan, and that's not always going to work. But those were red flags to me, what happened yesterday. But, man, John Harbaugh really doubled down and said, nope, he's our guy. There's a reason why we drafted him in the first round, and we'd like to wish Joe Flacco all the best. All I got to say is you better bring in as quality a backup quarterback as you can possibly bring in, because if he continues to play that way, to your point, Bruce, and he plays 16 games, I'll kiss your you-know-what.
You know, they've got Marty Morningweg. I think Marty Morningweg is their offensive coordinator. And I'm not sure who their quarterback's coach is, but they've got work to do because you can't make him be something that he's not.
And they drafted him in the first round for a reason. So there's
some
validity there. Like, okay, well, take who he is in the first round.
But he has to evolve a little bit from the way that he played in college to the way that he's playing in the NFL. Yes, you drafted him because of the way that he played in college and the skill set that he brings to it. But what about his adaptability now? Because there is a difference in playing in the college, even with RPOs and the emergence of RPOs, which he's extremely well suited for, mm-hmm. obviously. But even with that, you have to have enough wherewithal to handle the pocket, be comfortable in the pocket, don't have happy feet, don't depend on that which has always been your default, which is running to get out of pressure, which he seems to do a good job of. I mean, he doesn't run under pressure a great deal. He holds on to the football. He's willing to stand in there, but now you've just got to make him – he can't be the kind of quarterback that he was yesterday for the Ravens and expect them to win football games and get to the playoffs and win playoff games. He's got to evolve and improve.
Yeah, you got to be better than he was yesterday.
Yeah, and which means that you've got to be better in the standard definition of what an NFL quarterback is.
Yeah, he'll stand in there and hold it. Mm-hmm. But is he holding it because he's got deer in the headlight looks? Or is it because he's actually scanning the field? That's what we don't know.
Well, that's the question. And I've read things during the course of the season that his biggest challenge right now is coming to the line of scrimmage and recognizing what he's facing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's a lot of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I think Case
more
Keenum.
More than we'll ever know, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Case Keenum's an 8-year veteran. I think he has issues with that every time he comes to the line of scrimmage.
Hmm.
Where are you reading? What are you reading? Is it going to be one half of the field? What are you seeing? And I think that's natural for a young quarterback. So we'll just see how long it takes for him to be comfortable with that. But so much of the work of a quarterback is done at the line of scrimmage when they're breaking huddle.
Mm-hmm.
So
can a quarterback become a more accurate passer?
Sure.
You think so?
I think they can, because if you're smart, you design an offense that allows him the types of throws that he can be more and more comfortable with that allow him confidence, that allow him then to begin to stretch the field a little bit. I mean, Lamar Jackson appears right now, Shane, correct me if I'm wrong, Lamar Jackson right now appears to be more of a guy that is going to be dink or dunk or finding guys crossing as he's flushed from the pocket. I don't know how much of a big downfield guy that he, how much, I mean, maybe he develops into a big arm down the field kind of guy. Maybe, I don't know.
But
he doesn't show.
Can you make it your whole career, or most of it though, never really depending on those Phillip Rivers type throws where there's no window or a tight window or you got to throw your guy open? And Rivers is just an example of him. Mm-hmm. You know, Brady can do it. Rodgers can do it. Guys with supreme arm talent throw their guys open or fit it into tight windows. Also, Patrick Mahomes for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But can you make a living out of dig routes, rub routes, tunnel screens, screens,
right, crosses,
jet sweeps, and the occasional, you know, back shoulder fade? I know there's more than one way to skin a cat. I get that. And smart offensive coordinators will tailor their game plan around their quarterback. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is – I don't want to turn this into Lamar Jackson hour, but it's interesting that as poorly as he played yesterday, after the game, John Harbaugh made it known that he's our guy going forward. And, you know, there's more than their fair share of quarterbacks like him, two-way threats. In the college game, to a lesser degree, Dak and Baker Mayfield now in the NFL. But, you know, can you become a more accurate passer? Or are you what you are and your OC is just going to have to figure some stuff out? That's up for some debate, I suppose.
I don't think that – I mean, I don't know. Lamar Jackson made more progress this year as a quarterback than I thought he would. And the fact that he has supplanted Joe Flacco is meaningful. I mean, Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he's capable.
How much guts did it take for John Harbaugh not to pull the plug yesterday?
Oh, my God.
They were going nowhere the whole game.
I was uncomfortable watching that game for John Harbaugh, who just basically stuck to his guns, said, the hell with it, this is what we're doing, which I admire, except for the fact that you had, you know, about 68,000 people in that stadium second-guessing you. Now, by the way, they still lost the football game. So you can make the argument that if – but, I mean, now in retrospect, that he was never close to doing it. I don't know if he even thought about it.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yep. Didn't seem like it after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, that was much more of a – theme for, what was it, CBS doing that game?
Yes.
So that was much more of a theme for that production crew was the whole Joe Flacco thing. When do you go to him? When do you go? Well, John Harbaugh apparently was never concerned about it because the answer is very simply, he wasn't going to him.
Yep.
So what is that post-game?
You almost mortgaged a playoff game for your next 10 years.
Yes. So how does that post-game sound if they score one touchdown and they're not in a position in the last minute of that game to go win it? How does that post game sound? Because that's just as what could have easily happened. He wasn't going to go to Joe Flacco.
Yeah, if they lost 20-3, the Wolves would really be at the doorstep.
Oh my goodness.
After he's done with it, getting off the podium.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But it looked a little better at the end, and maybe bought Harbaugh a little more favor from the fans. But it was still a loss after all, but curious that they stuck with him. Before we get to the national championship game, Chris Klieman, finally done at North Dakota State, won again, beat Eastern Washington 38-24 in the FCS championship game in Frisco, Texas. And so now after going 69-6, North Dakota State, K-State finally officially has their head coach, and missed an opportunity to give the ex-Troy head coach, what's his name, Neil Brown, that went to West Virginia.
Right.
So I guess we'll get to finally see what the K-State Chris Klieman era looks like, because he's done at North Dakota State after winning yet another FCS national championship. How many
don't
was that?
Don't you feel like he's got a lot of momentum at K-State, though, Shane?
I do.
Don't you think that I feel like he's kind of won. He's won over that decision. And I don't know if Chris Klieman was the first pick amongst the faithful. I think that Seth Luttrell was probably the pick at the time, and maybe people would be a little more revisionist about that now in retrospect, but Chris Kleiman's the guy. I think he's won at every turn where he's needed to win. He's shown that he can get out and shake the bushes recruiting. He's been a fit, I don't know, right from the get-go. He seems like a really good fit for Manhattan, Kansas. Now let's see what happens. Let's get to the spring and let's get this this coaching staff together. The coaching convention here is pretty quickly, and the staff will be together for the first time, all together for the first time. And let's see what happens. But I'm fairly excited about Chris Klieman and what he brings to the table. Pretty hard to argue with the success that he's had. Now the cynic can say, well, yeah, he inherited that. Though it's not like he built it. Well, maintaining it sometimes can be just as hard. Mm-hmm. And he's done a pretty good job of that at North Dakota State. How it translates to the next level, we'll know. But I think by and large, K-Staters are feeling pretty good about things moving forward. And why wouldn't they, for goodness sakes? So, anyway, we'll get to the national championship game at Levi's Stadium. What will be more intriguing, the game or how many people show up to it? We're back in a second.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.